go into this study. Revelation 3rd chapter and verse 7. The Lord Himself, of course, addresses each one of these congregations individually. And again, as I said, this is one of the two congregations that did not receive a condemnation from the Lord, but rather a commendation. And Jesus says to them in verse 7 of Revelation 3rd chapter, to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write the words of the Holy, the true one, who has the key of David, who opens and no one will shut, who shuts and no one will open. Now, I just want to make a comment as far as the statement that Jesus makes actually to each of these congregations. He says to the angel of the church, and then addresses the congregation and their physical location, Philadelphia here in particular. That word angel, agelos or angelos, means messenger, envoy, one who is sent, messenger from God. One that is sent with a purpose, and that is, whether by man or by God, as Vine points out, to deliver a message. And I think that we realize the situation there on Patmos at the time in which John was exiled on that island. And he was writing things about the Roman Empire. Because as we see in Revelation 1st chapter beginning in verse 3, the things that he was writing were going to shortly come to pass. And it was about those things that were present and prevalent at that time by the Roman Empire that was persecuting Christians. And so these words, this letter was sent out, and they were addressed to the angel of the church in these different locations. And again, take the word angel just in its generic sense, one that is sent, one that would be a messenger, one that would deliver a message. And we see there in 1 Corinthians, the 12th chapter, in verse 8, that there were miraculous gifts that were given at the time so that spiritual utterances would be understood. And here in verse 8 it says, for to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. And he had said in verse 3, blessed is the one who reads aloud the words of this prophecy, and then addresses again these words to each congregation, to the angel of the church. I believe that what is taking place here is because of the things that were being stated by John, as recorded by John, rather, stated by Christ Jesus concerning the Roman Empire, the things that would come upon them. These things were written in such a way that they would not be understandable except these that had the spirit of understanding with that miraculous gift, give explanation. And so in each congregation there would be those that did have the miraculous gift of wisdom and understanding in order to give the sense of the writing of not just the first three chapters of Revelation, but all of Revelation. It's really a side point. But he says that it is the words of the Holy One, speaking of himself, the true one, that again of himself, who has the key of David. And the word key there in the Greek means, since the keeper of the keys has the power to open and to shut, metaphorically in the New Testament to denote power and authority of various kinds. Jesus identifies himself as the one that is doing the speaking, and he identifies the one that is sending out these words by the key that is being given. And it's not something that he has not used in the past, because we see in Matthew the 16th chapter and verse 19, wherever Jesus addresses his disciples, he says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever you bind on earth will have been bound in heaven, and whatsoever you shall loose on earth will have been loosed in heaven. And this authority, this power through the word that would be given, was not given to man, delegated to man, but rather was given to man to spread. The words came from heaven. God is the one that is authoritative. And he says that with the key of these words, no one will be able to shut them, and no one will be able to open them. In other words, what God has spoken from heaven is to be adhered to, understood, believed, and acted upon. And he writes this to Philadelphia, but I will tell you, he writes that to every Christian and every group of Christians on the face of the earth today, 2,000 years later. And it demands the respect of every Christian and of every congregation. Demands the respect of the authority of God through the Word. And that He has given that which allows and given that which denies actions of men. In other words, He has given that which authorizes actions and words and thoughts and deeds to each individual and each congregation. And here at the South Luke Church of Christ, that's where we should be. Our understanding of the authority of God's Word. And so I think that I see that in this congregation. As we go through our studies and so forth, we have people make comment, but they back it up with Scripture. And that's the way that it should be. And we understand when we look in 2 Peter, the first chapter, verse 21, that the Scriptures are not of any private interpretation. In other words, God did not need help from man to say what He said. He said what He meant. What God requires of us is to understand what He said and make proper application to it. Because His Word is authoritative. I believe this congregation understands that. And we're blessed because of that. There are those in congregations that regularly make a comment or a statement based upon any event or activity or belief where they will say, well, I don't see where the Bible says I can't do that, rather than looking for the proactive authority of God's Word. That's not the South Loop Church of Christ. That's not the members of this congregation. We look for authority from what God says in order to act, in order for us to teach from God's Word. I believe there's a commendation that is being given here. Just in the opening statements here in verse 7 to the church at Philadelphia. And I want to give that same commendation to the South Luke Church of Christ. Because I see a likeness in this. When we look at verse 8. We see that John says there, is recording the words of God, I know your works. Jesus says, I know your works, Philadelphia. Behold, I've set you as an open door, which no one is able to shut. I know that you have little power, and yet you have kept my word and have not denied my name. And here he gives certain keys, certain aspects to what he is writing them about. And he says, first of all, I have set you as an open door. I have set. And I want you to look at that because it comes from one Greek word, didomai, in the Greek. When he says, I have said, it means to give, I have bestowed a gift, I have furnished to you or endued with you something. And what he's talking about here is that he has given to them a gift that's not been given to everyone else. And I think that we have that situation here in the South Loop Church of Christ. I'll make more comment about that in just a moment. He said, I have set before you an open door. And what he's talking about there is, I've given you this gift, and that gift is an opportunity. It's an opportunity. And I think that that gift or that opportunity that the Lord gave to Philadelphia, and I believe is given to this congregation here, the South Luke Church of Christ, has come about because of our respect of the authority of God through His Word. Paul says this in 1 Corinthians 16, verse 9, for a great door and effectual is open unto me, and there are many adversaries. He understood that there was an open door that was given to him to preach the gospel, just as he says, as we look in Colossians, the 4th chapter, verses 2 through 4, continue steadfastly in prayer, be watchful in it with thanksgiving, at the same time pray also for us that God may open to us the door for the word, to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I'm in prison. And I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak. Paul recognized that the opportunities that was given to him to preach the gospel was given to him as a gift by God. Just as Jesus is saying, this is my gift to you, Philadelphia. I've given you an opportunity. And I want you to think about our congregation here, South Loop Church of Christ, an opportunity that has been given to us really since March. As a matter of fact, let's just go back even further. In May of 2015, if my count is accurate, and I might be off one or two here or there, there were 24 members of the South Loop Church of Christ. 24 souls that made up the membership of the Church of Christ. That's not the total number that were at the building, but that was the members. We have this morning 54 members. We had 55, and Sister May, because of her situation, had to remove herself from the membership of this congregation. So we have 54 members today. And that has come about because of a reason. It has come about because of the respect of God's Word. It has come about because of hard work by members of this congregation. It has come about because of the love that has been shown by members of this congregation for one another. It has come about because there is not murmuring, there is not complaining in this congregation, but rather we look and ask questions, Lord, here am I, send me. Just as Elijah said in the 6th chapter and verse 8, as Isaiah said in Isaiah 6 and verse 8. And I tell you, because of the hard work of members here, there are those that have seen the great love and respect for God's Word, and they have now also wanted to be part of this congregation. And all of this, really, as of late, has really blossomed. And I'll just go a little bit further into this year, or back rather in this year, 2020, during this situation that we are in with the pandemic. Whether you believe it or not, that's beside the point. There are those that are sick. Sister Ramona was sick from it. There are those that do have it. There it is in our society. Whether you believe the numbers or not, that's again beside the point. But during this situation where we are meeting as we are right now, some online and some at the building, God has given us a gift because we have grown. We have grown in numbers, but I also believe that we have grown especially spiritually. And that's where we really need to have our focus, is growing spiritually. And all of this at a very difficult time. All of this at a very difficult time. And it is a time I believe that Satan has used in these situations that we are in our society, in our nation, to destroy people's faith. But what it has done, because of this congregation, the love that we have for one another and the respect that we have of God's Word, we have overcome Satan in this, and not only declined, but we have grown. And what a blessing that is. This is an opportunity that I believe has been given to us, that is a gift from Christ Jesus right here in Taylor, Texas. And I think about a gift given from God, a gift given from Christ Jesus, an opportunity that has been afforded to us. How shameful it would be for us not to use that opportunity to continue to strengthen and grow. Especially spiritually, in Christ Jesus. There are congregations that have experienced growth in the past. I've known of some. But all it was physical numbers. And because of that, trouble came about. And there began to be complaints. There began to be discontent. There began to be murmuring and so forth. And they ran into trouble. And then eventually, in many situations, there were splits that took place. I don't want us to downplay the situation at all in the fact that we are a target, since we are growing and since we love one another and since we are together in one mind spiritually. We are a target of Satan, and he wants to destroy that. But as a congregation, we need to recognize this great gift that has been bestowed upon us, and this open door, this opportunity that has presented itself to us, and the growth that we have gone through. And that we not dismiss that. And that we not act in any way where we jeopardize that. That we continue in love, we continue in the same mind, that we have the same goal, looking to heaven. Jesus also said, I know that you have but little power. But you kept my word. That little power, the word dunamis in the Greek, strength, power, ability, but also it could be power of influence, resources arising from numbers. They probably were not a very large congregation and probably not very influential in the community, as we're going to see here in just a moment. But what Jesus had said to them, because you've kept my word, because you had respect and authority for my authority through the word, I'm going to make it to where you do have influence. You have kept my word. That little power that he says here, when I look over in Colossians 2 and verse 15, he says, he disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to an open shame by triumphing over them in him. In other words, the battle belongs to the Lord. And I believe this congregation recognizes, and I think it was Philadelphia that recognized that also, that the battles that are fought are not won because of any power that we have inherent within ourselves, some power that exudes from us, but rather the battle belongs to the Lord, and he will triumph before us when we put our trust in him, when we keep his word. In Jude verses 20-24, it says there, but you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, waiting for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life. And I believe what we're going to read here from verses 22 on has been seen in this congregation. And have mercy on those who doubt. There are some that may be present among us that are not members of the body of Christ, that are not Christians, that are not saved, they're not in saved condition, but we have mercy on them, understanding, because we have been in exactly the same place. We bear with them with patience and with love, with the understanding that we want them to be in a covenant relationship and a saved condition before the Lord. I believe that's seen here in the South Loop Church of Christ. Then he says in verse 23, save others by snatching them out of the fire. And I believe he's talking about those that maybe we know of, maybe we've talked to, and I know there are those that have talked to people in this congregation that needed to be bolstered up in their spiritual stance before God. And maybe they've not been attending the way that they should, maybe they've not been giving the way that they should, maybe they've not been doing the things that they should. I know that there are those that have talked to others about that. And I believe it's here in this congregation that that is seen, and because of that, there's an understanding that there's care and concern for one another. And then he says, to others show mercy with fear, hating even the garments stained by the flesh. And I believe that this congregation shows forth mercy to those that are not doing the Lord's will. Then he says in verse 24, now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you blameless before the presence of his glory with great joy. And I just want to stop the reading right there, because it goes back to the power of God's word. The power and authority of God himself through his word. That they had kept the word, and I will tell you, as long as we keep the word in tailor with the attitude that we are to have, recognizing this gift that has been given to us by God, that there is an opportunity that is out there, and I'll tell you, part of that opportunity has been realized by just the means of Zoom that we're on right now, to teach the Word of God and for others to see the love in this congregation. That in the same way that Philadelphia is being addressed, I believe that the South Loop Church of Christ can be addressed. You know, you think back to the parable of the unmerciful servant. A man that owed millions of dollars that he could never repay, when you put it into dollars today. And he could never repay them, but because of the mercy of the master that he owed all that money, he was forgiven his debt. And he was given a new lease on life. He was given a free gift that then gave him opportunity to not come into that situation again. We don't know what caused that situation. We don't know if it's bad financial planning. We don't know if it's disaster. We don't know what it was. But he had that opportunity that was given to him, and then look at how he acted to a man that owed him pennies. He had him cast in prison. And we can be like either that merciful master of that man that forgave, or we can be like the unmerciful servant that forgave nothing. They had no mercy whatsoever. And I believe that this aspect of opportunity is here before us today. And what a shame it would be to waste that opportunity that the Lord has given to us. We are at a turning point in this congregation where we can continue to grow, and especially spiritually, but also there's a possibility of growing in numbers. You know, wherever you look out to the west of the building, over in the area where Brandon and William and Oscar live with their families, there's new housing addition out there. And there's more going in. There's some to the north of us that's going in right now. The town is growing. There is an opportunity that is out there for us to reach others. And we can do that as long as we are not murmuring and backbiting and fussing, as long as we have the same goal and the same mind to do the Lord's will. Let's not waste this opportunity. When we look in verse 9, Jesus said, "Behold, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say that they are Jews and are not, but lie, behold, I will make them come and bow down before your feet, that they will learn that I have loved you." First of all, he said there are those that say they are Jews but are not. And I believe this is from the standpoint of not the physical relationship, but the spiritual relationship. You remember in Romans the 12th chapter, verses 28 and 29. Paul says, "Therefore, no one is a Jew who is merely one outwardly, that is physically, nor is circumcision outward and physical. But a Jew is one inwardly, and circumcision is a matter of the heart by the Spirit, not by the letter. His praise is not from man, but from God." And the reason that he uses the analogy of the Jew in the situation to talk about that which is spiritual in nature is that they were God's chosen people, and that Christians today are spiritual Jews. And if you put us into a collective, not just individually, we're spiritual Israel. And we see that in Romans the 9th chapter and verse 6. Paul says, "But it is not as though the word of God has failed, for not all who are descended from Israel belong to Israel. Not all of Israel are Israel," the King James Version says. And what he's saying here is that there are those that claim to be in covenant relationship with the Lord that are not. And this congregation has people that study with others that have that thought and idea, "Well, I'm okay, I'm in God's good stead," but they're not. And because of that, there are those in this congregation that study with others and show them what the truth is and what the relationship that one must have and how they come into that relationship with the Lord. And because they show them, not because of their own minds, their own thoughts, or because we have Church of Christ on the sign outside the building, but because of our actions, because of our respect for the authority of God's Word, just as Jesus said, "I will cause them to bow down before you." When we think about that, it's not about obeisance to an individual, but obeisance really to the truth. 2 Timothy 4, verses 2 through 5. Paul tells this young preacher, "Preach the word, be ready in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching," or doctrine. "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but will heap to themselves teachers to tickle their ears." And I'm going to paraphrase what is said here to help us understand. "And they will turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. As for you, always be sober-minded, endure suffering, do the work of an evangelist, fulfill your ministry." And that's what I see in this congregation. Even in and I'm not talking about myself, but even though I try to do exactly the admonition that Paul gives to Timothy in my preaching, I see it whenever an invitation is given by the brethren here, and starting this next Sunday afternoon, next week, someone else will take the pulpit in the afternoon. And I've seen every time, whenever that takes place, that there is the preaching of the word that takes place. I've not seen philosophy. I've not seen one's own thoughts and ideas that are presented, but rather I see truth from God's word presented. And I believe that that carries over into individual studies and discussions that this congregation has with others. And they, in their persuasive way that they present God's word, people bow down not to them, but rather to God because of the word. They learn that Jesus Christ loves them because of the teaching of the word and holding to it, that I have loved you. We look again in Jude verses 1 and 2. Jude, a servant of Jesus Christ and brother of James, to those who are called beloved in God the Father and kept for Jesus Christ, may mercy, peace, and love be multiplied unto you. And we look at that, how they, we understand that we are loved and we want to pass that love on to others. And we do that in our teaching and we do that in the way that we treat one another. I believe, and again, I may be of such a care of this congregation, prejudice for this congregation in a good way, I see the things that are being addressed to Philadelphia right here in Taylor, Texas. We see in verses 10 through 11 that Jesus said, "Because you have kept my command to persevere, I also will keep you from the hour of temptation, which is about to come upon the whole world, to test those that dwell upon the earth. I am coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no man may take your crown." Remember in Revelation 2 and verse 10, we have a crown that is promised to us. It is promised to another congregation. "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life." And this is the crown of life is what is being spoken of by Jesus here. But go back to this thought again that Jesus gives. And I think I see a likeness here of the church at Philadelphia to the one here in Taylor, the South Loop Church of Christ. "But you have kept my command to persevere." There have been struggles in this congregation over the years. There have been very few in membership, not enough to do a lot of work, little strength that we talked about. But this congregation survived. And it survived because of keeping of the command of God in order to persevere spiritually. And I know that here as we see Jesus say, "I will also keep you from the hour of temptation that is about to come upon the whole world," that's very specifically written to the times back then, but I also believe there's an application for us today. And again, those congregations that exist that do not hold to God's word as the South Loop congregation does, has come upon them temptation and destruction. Oh, their numbers may grow, their buildings may get bigger, their numbers there may be exorbitant, just overflowing in the building, but yet they've left their Lord because they did not persevere in the word. The word persevere means to be steadfast, to be constant, to endure, and that in connection with the word. Colossians 1, 21 through 23. Paul says, "And you who once were alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in the body of his flesh by death, in order to present you holy, blameless, and above reproach before him." Stop right there. I'm persuaded this is not talking about in the afterlife, when we stand before the God of heaven, but rather is talking about right now on earth, that we are presented holy, unblameable, and unreprovable in the sight of God by keeping his will through his word. Because we see verse 23 gives the qualification. If indeed you continue in faith, stable and steadfast, that persevering, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you heard, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, of which I, Paul, became a minister. He says you can be presented, you are presented, holy, unblameable, and unreprovable if we continue in the faith, being stable, persevering in the word of God and holding fast to it, just as he said to the church at Philadelphia. And think about that from this standpoint, Romans 12, verses 9 and 10. Let love be genuine. Abhor what is evil. Hold fast to that which is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Let me repeat the last verse of that, of verse 10, the last part of verse 10. Outdo one another in showing honor. And I believe this congregation does that. I believe this congregation does that not only because of the word, but also because of the example that is set forth by the eldership, by the shepherds of this congregation that do this exact thing. They show honor to others. They don't just think about themselves. They think about every soul that is a member of this congregation. They think about everyone. And they show honor toward them. And because of that, we learn from them. And we show honor then to one another. Yes, this was addressed to Philadelphia, but I see this. I see this in the South Loop Church of Christ here in Taylor. I see these very things that are discussed here in verses 10 through 11. When we look at verse 12, John says, "The one who conquers, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God. Never shall he go in and out. I will give him the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem, which comes down from my God out of heaven, and my own new name. He who has an ear to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." That word conquer there in that verse comes from the word nikeo. To conquer, to carry off the victory, to come off victorious. That word is used, of course, in connection with a battle taking place. And there's not the thought of victory unless there is an understanding that a battle is being waged, and a battle is being waged spiritually each and every day. Not only individually, but also for this collective group, this Church of Christ in Taylor, Texas, the South Loop Church of Christ. But I want you to see how that also fits along with the thought that Paul gives from Romans 8, chapter verse 35 through 39. And a statement of confidence and comfort that we have in the words that Paul gives. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Just stop right there. As we're going to find out, it's not going to be outside influences. It's not going to be from the power of man. It's not going to be by the authority of man. That's not going to be it. But we're going to find out that rather, the only one that can really separate us from the love of Christ is ourselves. He says, "Shall tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, or sword? It's written, for your sake we are being killed all the day long. We're regarded as sheep to the slaughter." No. No, it's not going to be these things that would separate us from the love of God. In all these things, we are more than conquerors. More than conquerors. And that comes from one Greek word, hupernikeo. And what he's saying there, we are super conquerors. Through Christ Jesus who loved us. Again, the battle belongs to the Lord. We are more than conquerors through him who loved us, for I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. The Lord doesn't look at us and look at our condition and situation and say, "I don't like the situations there. I don't like the disease there. I don't like death that is taking place. I'm not going to have anything more to do with them. They are poor. There is danger all about them. I'm not going to have any more to do with them." No. God stands firm. God stands constant that he will not withdraw his love from us through Christ Jesus. We understand then that the only thing that can separate us from the love of Christ is ourselves. It's ourselves. That's the reason that we must have such care and concern for God's word and for one another and be of the same mind. He said, Jesus said also, in verse 12, "I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God." And the word pillar there means exactly as we understand, a proper support. It is used in connection with that which holds something up. Each and every individual can be a pillar in the temple of God. We'll talk about more about templar in just a moment. But that which holds up, I believe, one another. And that's the way that we should be, and that's what I see here in the South Loop Church of Christ, that we hold up one another. That we give up of our own thoughts and our own ideas and our own wants and our own desires, and we look for what is best for our brethren. He says, I'm going to do that and make him a temple of my God. A pillar in the temple of my God. And the word temple, as found throughout all of Revelation, is the word naos. And it's used of the temple at Jerusalem, but only of the holy place and most holy place where the priest did service. It's not talking about the physical structure at all. It's talking about that which is spiritual. And what he's saying then to this congregation is, I will make you a support among my people, among those in the holy place with God, those with relationship with God and with one another in the work that you have as a collective. And whenever I think about that, I go to Ephesians, the second chapter, verse 19 through 22. Whenever Paul says, so then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole structure, talking about that physical, not that physical structure, but the spiritual structure, being joined together, grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In him you also are being built together into a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. There is a place in Taylor, Texas, where there are priests of God that are part of the temple of God, come together and do service for themselves and for each other. And it is where the truth is taught. It was taking place in Philadelphia. I believe it's taking place in Taylor, Texas. And that each and every member of this congregation is a pillar. And every time that one becomes a child of God in this congregation, they become a pillar in the temple of God here in Taylor. And they hold it up and they support one another. And they support then the authority of God's word in the work that they do. It was written to Philadelphia, but I see it in Taylor, Texas. Again, I may be prejudiced because I love this congregation. I love each and every one of you so much, but I see that. Don't you see it also? It's so evident. And I believe it's part of the reason that people wanted to be a part of this congregation and have come our way. And there are those that have been baptized that recognize there's more to life. I see how they treat one another. I understand. And then in verse 13, Jesus says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. And where he says he who has an ear, he's not talking about the physical ear. He's not talking about that at all. We all understand that. He's talking about those who will humble themselves to hear the word of God in all of this that has been said to Philadelphia and by what we've been presenting this morning to the South Loop Church of Christ in Taylor, Texas. If there were those that wanted their own way in this congregation, they would not have an ear to hear what the Lord has said to not only Philadelphia, but also to Taylor. But those of this congregation has the ear to hear. They have the desire to hear God's word. James 1 verses 19 and 20. James says, know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. And that is something that each and every one of us need to take to heart, including myself. Be slow to anger. I will tell you that I have an issue that I have to work on daily. I have such great patience with those that are not children of God that I teach. I've been called all sorts of things. Charles Chaney, Donald King, and Roger Greer can tell you. I've been called all kinds of things there in the prison because of the teaching of God's word. And for some reason, I'm able to blink an eye and overlook that. And sometimes, though, I get caught up with brethren because of being naive, where I think that everybody might have the same desire that I have. Whenever I think that may not be true, I sometimes become impatient. I'm going to work on that. I'm going to ask for your prayers to work on that. And it's something that I have to do, and I recognize that. But I see in this congregation that there's not the anger that is there. And I see that people listen to other people as they make their comments. And that this congregation does have the ear to hear. When we look in Ephesians 4, 29 through 30, let no corrupt talking come out of your mouth, but only such as is good for building up or edifying, as fits the occasion. They may give grace to those who hear. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you are sealed for the day of redemption. South Loop Church of Christ, all the members, all those present this morning, take heed what Paul said right here in Ephesians 4, verse 29 through 30, as we think about this. Let all of our speech, let all of our action, let all of our desire be for edifying the body of Christ right here in Taylor, Texas. He says, as it fits the occasion. And what he means by that is that sometimes there might be situations, and it has taken place in the past, where false doctrine has been taught and it must be addressed. But rather, focus right now, as we're looking here, upon edifying one another, that it may give grace to those that have the ear to hear, that desire to hear God's word and do His word. We talked earlier about the great gift that we have from Christ Jesus right now in this congregation. This opportunity, this open door. Paul says in verse 30 something then that is very pertinent to us because of that. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God. And I will tell you that I have seen congregations that I believe has grieved the Holy Spirit of God. They had all the fortunes come to them. They had all the opportunities come to them. And they squandered it and they wasted over backbiting and murmuring and complaining and disagreements rather than being of the same mind. And that's exactly what Satan wants. And I will tell you, that's what he wants. That is his design. And the target is on us because we are doing so well right now. He wants that to happen. We must not give occasion to the adversary. We must not do that. What a grand congregation we have. What a great group of people that we have. We must love one another. We must stand for the truth, absolutely. We must love one another. We must show mercy toward one another. This morning, maybe you're not a child of God. I want you to look at the way that members treat one another here at this congregation. And I want you to notice that because they do it. They treat one another with respect and honor and love. They do that because they have been forgiven of their sins. They have been forgiven and have become children of God. And I want you to realize that you have that opportunity also. To become a child of God this morning and to be part of, first of all, the spiritual body of Christ Jesus, but also of this congregation if you want to be. This morning you can be baptized for the remission of your sins. You can then come into a relationship that is as a child of God, cared for, protected, and comforted by the God of heaven and Christ Jesus, His Son. But not only them, you also have a whole new family. A spiritual family here at the South Loop Church of Christ. If you're not a child of God, will you become one today? Maybe you're visiting with us and you're looking for a place to work with, a congregation to work with. You're already a Christian. I'll invite you to look at this congregation. And I invite you to look at this congregation because of the great love that we have for one another and the work that is taking place in this congregation. And I'm going to urge you that if you wish to work with this congregation, that you can do so by letting the shepherds know. You can let them know and you can be a part of this work. You'll talk with them and you'll come to an understanding and agreement with them. I'll hold this congregation up to any congregation in the area. I don't care the size. It doesn't matter. The size is meaningless. We have a great group of people. We have a great group of Christians here in this congregation. We have this gift from God. We have this opportunity that is given to us. Do not let that be a waste. Let us make sure that we do the Lord's will. If you wish to come, become a child of God, or place membership, let it be made known at this time as we stand and sing. Oh.